Good morning and welcome to Faith Unscripted, a weekly program devoted to all things spiritual. Faith Unscripted, hosted by the Reverend Richard Hasselbeck, pastor of the historic Clarkstown Reformed Church, located at 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack. You, your family, and friends are cordially invited to come worship with us at the Clarkstown Reformed Church at 107 Strawtown Road every Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Rich loves to hear from our listeners. Give him a call, 845-429-1700. That number again, 845-429-1700. And good morning, Pastor.
Vince, good morning, and thanks to you, and thanks to our entire radio audience for joining us again for this version of Faith Unscripted, a show that truly is unscripted because you, our beloved callers, set the agenda for each program. So please call us with any questions or comments or thoughts about anything in the religious or spiritual realm, and we will be delighted to hear from you. Our number again is
845-429-1700.
Amen, as we say in the business. So Vince, when we were driving over today, we had a really interesting conversation in the car. Mm. And I'd like to just share it with our audience because I thought it was very valuable from any number of spiritual perspectives. And it started very simply by your observation that when you just season your conversation with something like a greeting or a goodbye that includes God bless you, mm-hmm. Amazing things happen. So could you share some of that?
You get a very positive response from people. They're pleasantly surprised to hear it, and then they respond in kind, going, thank you, and God bless you too. And I'll say amen, or I'll take it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And more often than not, you would think. You get a really positive response to it.
And I try to do the same thing myself. And I think what I find, and it's what I sense that you find when you do that, is that there are a lot of people out there who welcome the presence of God in their day. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be in church. In fact, it's most often not in church.
Right.
But it's at the supermarket. It's in the Starbucks. It's
post
in
office.
The post office. Yeah. Any place. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's you were talking to a lady in the post office up at Suffern, who was very helpful to you, and you ended the conversation with "God bless you."
Yeah.
And the response was her response was, I thought, warm and appreciative.
Yes, it was. And they're not people are not expecting to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they enjoy hearing it, and almost as if some of them have been, say, taught or conditioned to hold back expressions of faith, even a simple one just like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, a lot of folks believe that religion belongs in church and nowhere else. So
it's the opposite, actually.
So, you know, keep it to yourself, you know. Maybe you can say something about your faith at home to your family or in church with your co-religionists, or synagogue with your co-religionists. But keep it out of public because then it's you're imposing your views on others as they would think. And I believe quite the contrary. When you project yourself publicly as a person of faith, you do a lot to make the world a better place.
And we have a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Rich. This is Bill Flynn, and I was listening to your conversation. And I have to say, just last night, I have a friend who I met when I went into grief when my wife died. We were in the same grief program. And I kept in touch with her, and her father just died on Sunday. And, you know, we were talking about that, and she mentioned what you had just said, is that some people, they don't want to open their hearts they don't want to open their hearts to say that they're with God, that they walk with God, they walk along with God, and they don't want to mention any kind of religion out in front of people because they're so afraid of what people say. And I had to refute her. I said, you know, that's not what I get when I go walking around. People are saying to me all the time, oh, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for saying something, because I always try to be nice to everybody in my own way. But they all say to me, come back to me and say, oh, God bless you. So I had to tell her, I said, you know, I don't really agree with what you're saying. And that was what you were talking about.
Yeah, Bill, I hear what you're saying, because I think people are warmed and appreciative when you create a sense of the divine in their lives by saying something as simple as God bless you. What's a blessing, right? A barakha for our Jewish brothers and sisters. It's the projection of God's favor and love into the life of another. And it's our willing that this other person whom we are blessing experience the one who is the only one who truly blesses, which is God. So when we bless another, we project the love of God into the world and into their lives. And we also miss so many opportunities when we don't do that, because there's a longing for faith among the people that we meet. There's a longing for faith in the world. And some people don't even know what they're looking for. But they won't find it if there aren't others out there willing to share what we have found with them. The people who are longing for faith and don't know us, or the people who are experiencing an emptiness that the world can't fill, will never come into a church. They'll never hear our prayers at Clarkstown Reformed Church. They'll never hear a sermon, because they don't go where sermons are given or where prayers in church are prayed. But the beginning of their journey may very well be the kindness of a believer who says, among other things, God bless you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there are a lot of nice people out there, but nice isn't enough. If there's no foundation for kindness or for niceness, whatever that is, then who cares? Who cares? Nice doesn't save you. But a compassion rooted in the love of God, that does. If somebody knows that I'm being kind, not because I'm feeling good that day or I didn't have anything that upset me at breakfast, that doesn't help them. But if they know that I'm being kind to them because of my faith in Christ or my faith in God, because I see them as a brother or a sister, because both of us are children of God, both of us are image bearers of the divine, then that can change people's lives. I encourage everyone who's listening to us today to be more publicly religious. Wear some symbol of faith. My license plate is Psalm C. Psalm, of course, is the book of Psalms in the Hebrew Bible, and C is the Roman numeral for 100, so it's Psalm 100. But I have that license plate in part because, A, I want people to start wondering what Psalm C is and figuring it out, and then going to their Bible and reading Psalm C, or Psalm 100. And let me do that for you now. It reads, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues from age to age." Now, if just one person sees my license plate and goes to that psalm and reads it, then it's worth whatever I paid the DMV to get the darn plate. And the other thing it does is it identifies me on the road as a believer, you know? So I'm not conscious of my license plate. I'm not going to be a jerk. I remember years. I may have told this story before, but some years ago, I was on the Sawmill Parkway. I almost remember exactly where I was, and I was heading south, and I was passing a car, and he had a bumper sticker, and it read, "Honk if you love Jesus." Yeah. So I honked, and he waved back at me, but only using one finger. And I thought to myself, that's probably not the right thing to do if you've got a bumper sticker that says honk if you love Jesus. So he obviously forgot that he had the bumper sticker on, or he thought that my honk was not a nice supportive honk as I meant it to be. But when we are publicly religious, when we're publicly Christian, and when we do what it really means to be religious, then we enrich the lives of everyone we meet. And let me go back to when we do what it really means to be religious. Because the word religion, rooted in the Latin word religare, which means to reconnect, genuine religion is connective. Genuine religion reconnects us to the source of our life, to the creator of our vitality, to the wisdom that lies at the heart of things. And in that deep down connection, the connection from within, not from without, we also discover that where we are most ourselves, we are no longer only ourselves. That we are connected to God, and in that connection with God, we are also profoundly connected to each other. And so, for the genuinely religious person, there are no strangers. There are brothers and sisters that we haven't met. There are people that God has given us to love in spite of themselves. Last Sunday, we had a reading in church. It was Jesus from the Sermon on the Plain from Luke's Gospel, the sixth chapter. And Jesus is giving what Joseph Campbell called the highest moral teaching that has ever been given in the entire history of the world. And Joseph Campbell, for those of you who don't know him, he died in 1987, I think. But he was a master of mythology and world religions. He knew the teachings of all the religions around the world. He knew Buddhism, he knew Taoism, he knew Confucianism, and he knew a lot of the African religions. He said the high point of moral teaching in the entire history of the world is Jesus saying, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that is the genuinely religious insight of a person who is connected to the source of life. Jesus is one with the Father, right? And in that oneness, he realizes that even his enemies are beloved by God. Even his enemies are image bearers of the divine life. And even his enemies deserve to be prayed for and treated with compassion, dignity, and respect. And you see, when we hear that teaching, if we are to be genuinely religious ourselves, we can't look down our snoots at people. We can't be self-righteous. We have to instead recognize how often we fall prey to the pettiness and egotism of our lesser selves. You know, and we get angry, and we seek to be revengeful, and we lash out at other people, and we want to get even, or we want to, you know, make an obscene gesture to some guy who's honking at you in the car, thinking you really did want him to honk if he loved Jesus. But we got to pray for those people, and love them, and do good for them. See, when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's not thinking of an emotion. He's not thinking of feeling nice things or warm and toasty thoughts about people who are our enemies. He is talking about loving people actively. He's talking about doing good for people affirmatively. He's talking about making a difference in the lives of others, even if we don't particularly like them, even if they have not done good things in our lives. And so, you know, in this world full of hatred, and there is so much hatred and division and suspicion and divisiveness, in that world, we need to be different, publicly different. Now, Jesus is never saying, and nor does any genuinely religious person ever say, that as someone moved by God's presence and God's revelation in our lives, he doesn't say that we should do nothing in the world, we should sit passively around, we should be doormats. That's not it at all. He says go out and fight evil. Jesus was in the struggle against cosmic evil. That's what his cross is all about. But he doesn't say fight evil with evil. He doesn't say return hatred for hatred. Quite the opposite. He says the lex talionis, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that is overturned by the more profoundly authentic law of love. When we love, we triumph over evil. When we sink to responding to evil with evil, we have lost the war in that one movement away from love. So what does it mean to be publicly Christian? It means to take a stand against evil wherever we see it. It means to be involved in the world and in the affairs of the world as positive, kind, compassionate, and loving people that rise above division. We can't let the dividers divide us. We can't let people say, hate that other person in that other group because they're the big problem, aren't they? Well, the answer is no. God didn't create groups. God created individuals with splendid diversity. He created person after person after person, every one of them bearing the image of God. Every one of them made for a divine purpose and given a divine calling. And our job is to appreciate and facilitate, appreciate the goodness that lies at the heart of every human being and facilitate their ability to give the gift that God gave them to give.
That's wonderful.
Do we have another call?
Okay.
Bill, I think we have another call. Thanks, Bill. Okay. God bless
you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We have another caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Hello, this is Sonia with a Y.
Sonia with a Y,
Madam,
thanks for calling.
Sonia, good morning.
I'm enjoying the show very much, as always.
Thank you.
And as I had told you, Pastor, on Sunday, the sermon at church was just magnificent, just so pertinent. Having said that...
I give you a half an hour to stop talking like that.
I was in a store yesterday. There was a specialty store. And they had music that was very distracting. It was loud. It was not soothing to the ears. But I was on a mission. I had to buy a couple of things. And because it was a specialty store, I needed to have help. And it was President's Day. It was busy. To get to my point, I had a lovely woman who helped me. And despite all the people that were there, she stuck to it. And I, you know, said to her, oh, God bless you, you're so helpful. I need this help so much. The item was a little expensive for me, but it was had no alternative. And I saw in her eyes what I felt was someone who was sensitive and spiritual. So I said to her, again, I can't thank you enough. You really, I see something in your eyes that is special. And she said, oh, thank you, you know, God bless you. And we got into this conversation that was spiritual and it was wonderful. And this wonderful, beautiful looking lady with a scarf on her head was from Afghanistan.
Ah.
So she was not, obviously not Jewish. She obviously was not Christian. And it didn't matter in the least that we both said to each other, God is God, and he works the way in all his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, it was a beautiful experience.
That's thanks for sharing, Sonia, with a Y. And it really reminds us that it is God that overcomes our division.
Exactly.
I was in a conversation yesterday with a lovely friend from who grew up in China and suffered a great deal as a young person. She lived through the Cultural Revolution. Her dad was a university professor, and he was made to clean bathrooms at the university to humiliate him. Her mother died in the conflicts in China during the Cultural Revolution. Her sister was lost. She had a younger sister and just disappeared. And so she said, how can I believe? She said, I believe there's something, but how can I believe in the goodness of God as I see all the suffering that I had to endure in my life? And there's no real great answer for that question, except to say that when we are in touch with that something that she senses exists, and she's a brilliant woman. She's got a PhD in chemistry, retired now, but a brilliant scientist, and she said, well, where was God in all of that? Why can't I see God? And the answer is, well, she at least has an intuition that there is something more.
Yes.
And that something more is something she searches for. So she is looking, at least, for that goodness that lies at the heart of things, although because of her life story, she can't really see how God's goodness has touched her life.
Of course not.
Now, my suggestion to her is she maybe needs to change the direction of her gaze.
Exactly.
Because she's gazing at the loss. And that loss, while it was profoundly painful for her, was part of her history that has led her out of the countryside of China into a Chinese university, through a period of time when there was the ability of Chinese students to come to America. So she came here, and she got her PhD, and she had a tremendous career, and she was brought to safety.
How about that?
Was the hand of God there, or wasn't it? I mean, she's got to answer that question.
Yeah.
But I have to pose it, because where is God in our suffering? He is right there suffering with us. And I don't know the reason for anyone suffering.
No.
But I do realize that God has a time at his disposal. He has eternity to do his justice, and he has miracles he hasn't used yet. And we can appreciate, I think, God's presence when we begin to step away from our expectations of God and look at the great things God does for us when we don't even ask for them. When we don't even ask for them.
It's quite profound.
So I mean, and a lovely person, mm-hmm. who is an older woman now, but still searching. And I would encourage any of our listeners who might be going through difficult times to look for the presence of God in their pain, because God isn't always the solution. God is sometimes only the companion, but a good companion he is. And I think it's always wise for us to be ready to see God's presence and to recognize that the more we insert ourselves every moment of our days in the search for God and in enjoying the presence of God, when we do that, we are never disappointed because God is constantly revealing himself to us in small ways and in large sometimes.
Amen.
Thanks, Sonia with a Y. Thanks for calling.
It's good to hear from you, Sonia. Thank you.
Very good.
Did you get your specialty item?
I did.
Ooh.
I got two specialty items.
Well, I bet they're very special.
Cap.
Okay, bye, guys.
Take care. God bless you.
God.
Vince has brought a little book called Jesus Calling. It's by Sarah Young. And she writes brilliantly. Says every day of the year, she has a little message that she puts in the voice of Jesus. So as Vince reads this, just hear it as being the message of Jesus through Sarah Young for this day in her book. And I think there's a great deal of wisdom in today's message.
You need me every moment. Your awareness of your constant need for me is your greatest strength. Your neediness, properly handled, is a link to my presence. However, there are pitfalls that you must be on guard against: self-pity, self-preoccupation, giving up. Your inadequacy presents you with a continual choice: deep dependence on me or despair. The emptiness you feel within will be filled either with problems or with my presence. Make me central in your consciousness by praying continually, simple, short prayers flowing out of the present moment. Use my name liberally to remind you of my presence. Keep on asking and you will receive, so that your gladness may be full and complete. And to that we can all say,
Amen.
Amen.
And one of the few of the things in that passage are profoundly interesting, but right at the end, keep on asking. You know, don't give up on prayer, but keep on praying, because God hears every prayer, and we just need to have faith that God is answering us somehow, perhaps in ways that we don't expect. The other thing she says there. I forget exactly how she put it, but it's give God the wiggle room to answer his way and not yours. Okay. So instead of, you know, Lord, I just bought a lottery ticket. I don't need to win the big prize, but, you know, maybe one of the smaller ones.
A taste?
Pardon?
A taste.
Just a taste. that doesn't give God any wiggle room. But the prayer, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next. Help me.
It's true, though.
That's a prayer that God can answer in God's own way. Vince, you've got a story about
and,
that.
And invoke his name
as well.
Well, yes. I was very cynical, very hardened individual, and was in a very bad time of life. And I was being encouraged by you, Rich, to pray and to invoke his name while praying. And while at the church, I was alone, and I'm on my knees in that sanctuary, admitting to Jesus, I don't even know what help I'm asking you for.
Yeah.
But I'm going down, and I'm dragging my family with me, and please don't let that happen. Please. And not 3 hours later, you came back on campus from lunch with a former congregant, and in the course of your visit, we needed a new place to live, and he admitted that he was losing his tenants. You made a few inquiries and then come back to me saying, I may have great news for you, Vince. I'm like, oh, hit me.
Yeah.
I could use it. And suddenly my prayer was answered just like that.
Yeah.
I didn't even have the imagination to think it could be answered like that.
Yeah.
This was only 3 hours after I asked. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's that quick with any of us, but it opened my eyes to things like that don't just happen.
Right. Well, and it did happen in your life, and it was an epiphanic moment.
Oh, it was a
moment where you saw the God's hand very clearly in your life.
Even I couldn't deny it.
And you can't explain it. And I didn't know you were looking. I might have known you were looking for a place to live, but
you didn't know the urgency.
Didn't know the urgency, and I didn't know that he was going to lose his tenant. And this is an elderly gentleman who was in our church, and we just got together occasionally, and he brought that up, and God answered your need through his need. God is helping two people there, and that's a beautiful thing. But God is in the salvation business, not in the real estate business.
Well, but so, that was my you're right, exactly. And how he manages no, how he brings together his children.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not.
Right. Well, what God cares about is God cares about your eternal life. He cares about winning your eternal life. And whether or not you're living in the right place has something to do with his love for you, but the urgency in God's heart is I want to save my child Vince, and you can fill in your name into that sentence.
Right. He
loves you, and wants you with him forever in his kingdom, and answering my prayer to win the lottery is that's not high on his hit parade of prayers to answer. But does he want me to know his Father's care for me? Yes. Does he want me to realize that I'm being provided for through his abundance? Yes. Does he want me to be healthy? Yes. But the health he wills for me is first my spiritual health, then my mental health. He will heal everyone who needs healing, but he will heal what needs to be healed first. I may have told the story about my sister Barbara, who was a somewhat persnickety person. She had ovarian cancer. She desperately wanted to be healed, and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and went to healing services all over the place. I remember going up to Massachusetts with her once, and because there was some priest who was supposed to have had healing gifts. In any event, she didn't get healed of her ovarian cancer. She passed away in 1998, but she was healed of the bitterness and anger that plagued her all her life. So God did heal her and brought her to the point at the end of her life where she gave up her spirit, and she had let go of all the grudges and the animosity and the things that burdened her for more than 50 years. So God healed her. But he healed what needed to be healed, so that when he brought her home, he brought her home. Wow. And she joyfully went there. She gave up her spirit.
We do have a caller, Pastor, and we'd like to welcome the caller on the air. You are on the air with Pastor Rich. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Gina from Pearl River.
Hi, Gina from Pearl River. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for calling.
I have this beautiful book by Miss Young. I've had it for about 3 years, and it has beautiful pages, one for each day of the 365 days of the year.
Yes.
And in this handy little book, it's really wonderful. It's my first everyday spiritual reference book that I enjoy spiritually. It's full of her great wisdom and also helpful verses from the Bible, and it's very uplifting and informative and comforting. And I love the little book. Everybody should have one.
Thank you. I love it too, and so does Vince, obviously, because he brings it with him every day we come to the station. So,
yes.
What is it about the book that really lifts your spirits?
It's just very, very comforting to know that if I go to the book that day, I'll find something to lift me up.
Yeah.
Even if I take it with me, it's small. It can fit in my pocketbook, and it's handy to take around. And it's just uplifting. Very, very. I know she traveled far and wide, and to put a lot of study into her biblical life.
Yeah. One of the things that impresses me about the book is its practicality.
Practicality, right.
It's a short thing. It's a short little chapter, or it's really a page a day. And in today's page, today's reflection, for example, some really practical tips for Christian living, or for religious living, really, where in the voice of Jesus, he says, pray constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, St. Paul said that first. I mean, it wasn't unique to Sarah Young, but pray constantly. How do you do it? Mm-hmm. She's given us tips.
Use my name liberally.
Use my name liberally. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that she may have been thinking of when she wrote that is the prayer of the heart, which comes to us from the Orthodox tradition, right? Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's called the prayer of the heart, of the Jesus prayer. There are different ways to that I've seen it written, but that's basically it. Lord Jesus, the full prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it's to be used constantly. So, you know, as you breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, as you breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you can do that all day long if you want to.
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It took me 62 years to hear that prayer.
Well, yeah, it's out of the Russian tradition. The Orthodox actually have prayer beads. I call them Jesus beads. And you pray that prayer on each bead. They have about 125 beads, and you just go through it all day.
Similar to a rosary.
So not unlike a rosary. Mm-hmm. And it's used in the same way as a rosary, in a sense, because the rosary is also a prayer after a prayer after a prayer, and right. It's a way to pray constantly. This is a little easier because it's a shorter prayer, and as Sarah Young says, it uses Jesus' name. Now, the other tip, she says, is pray in your own words. I mean, pray in your own words about the things that are happening to you moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. So if you're in the market and somebody strolls past you with a child in a stroller, pray for the child. Pray for the mother or the father who's wheeling the child around. Pray a blessing for them. I mean, you can pray about anything that you see.
That's true. That's true. You know, I love on every page you see the hand of God reaching out to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't notice it at first, and then I noticed it, and I said, my God, that's lovely.
Well, what I also like about it is the fact that it reminds you, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
It just feels like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll listen on the radio. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you too.
Thanks. So, and let me give a little plug to the book again, because obviously some of our listeners know it and love it, and it is Jesus Calling, subtitled Enjoying Peace in His Presence, Devotions for Every Day of the Year by Sarah Young. So if you're chugging around Amazon.com today, or you happen to be at Barnes & Noble, I'm sure that's going to be on the
there.
Shelves.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
Unlike my own lovely book, which nobody can find anywhere. So one of the things, Vince, you were talking about is the epiphany that you had.
Yes.
when one of your needs was met in a... almost miraculous way.
It was miraculous
we'll
to me.
We'll call it miraculous,
To me it was.
And we see miracles when we look for them. So when you start looking for the hand of God moving in your life, I guarantee that you will see His presence there. Guarantee it. We're coming to the end in the church year of the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany means the showing of God in our world. And, you know, who comes right after Christmas. And the point of the each of the services, the readings that the church gives us for the season of Epiphany, is that God's revealing Himself to humankind. And last Sunday, which was the penultimate Sunday in the season after the Epiphany, we had Jesus' Law of Love, We have Jesus saying, forgive and you will be forgiven. And let me just pause on that for a moment, because forgiveness is one of those things we like to get, but we have a hard time giving. Because when we are offended, we feel that the order of the universe has been put off its axis. And so our ego gets in the way of our ability to let go of real or perceived offenses. And what Jesus is saying is, look, forgive. Let go of this stuff. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And I'm thinking, does that mean, I wonder, that God's watching, you know, if I'm a good forgiver, I get a lot of forgiveness, and if I'm a bad forgiver, I don't get a whole lot of forgiveness. I don't think so. I think what Jesus is driving at is that when we forgive, the first person we release from the bondage of anger and bitterness is ourselves. We're let out of prison when we start forgiving others. And so forgive, and we are simultaneously forgiven because we're let loose. We are freed from the prison of our resentments. And so one of the great gifts that Christians can give to each other and to themselves is the gift of forgiving others. So a little homework assignment from our radio show today. Make a list of the people who you need to forgive. Who are you crabbing at? Who are you, I'm not going to talk to that person again, if it's the last thing I do. Who is on that list of yours? Who's offended you so deeply that you just want to write them out of the book of at least your life? Because that is precisely the person you need to forgive. And what does forgiveness look like? Let go of it. You know, get over yourself and allow people to be free of your bitterness and have you back in their lives.
We have another caller. Pastor, good morning. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. Father Clem checking in. How are you?
Father Clem, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Always blessed. Always blessed. Listen, Pastor Rich, I need you to do me a special favor.
Done.
And have a prayer. Say a prayer, a blessing for my friend Uri, who we've known each other for 30 years. We used to train in some martial arts together, and he's had a rough road, and I just met up with him yesterday, and, you know, he's got quite a story, and, you know, he's in a spot that, I just hope better for him. So I'm praying, but I really need your connection to God, and I would just really much appreciate that.
Could you tell me more of the direction we need to pray in?
Well, you know, I haven't seen him often, but I've talked over the years to him, and I sensed there was a mental illness. There was something going on, and yesterday he said to me, you know, they put me on I was 350 pounds at one point because he used to be shredded. He actually tried out for the NFL. He was a mixed martial arts fighter.
Wow.
And he was very heavy, and he said, you know, they put me on medicine for schizophrenia, but I don't have that. You know, I can't believe they made me do it, and blah, blah, blah. I sense mental illness, and I just sense no direction.
Yeah.
Family has cut him, you know, pretty much loose, and, you know, doesn't talk to him. Really not there for him. So, you know, I just need a healing prayer, a prayer of direction, and a prayer just that God always, obviously God is watching over him, but I'd like an extra eyes over him.
Well, let's do that right now. Creator God, we gather this radio congregation, Father Clem, Vince, myself, Will on the other side of the board, we gather together now in prayer for our brother Uri. You, Creator God, are the healer. You have created Uri, and you have created him in your image. He is your beloved. He is the apple of your eye. You have given him life, and you have given him mission, and you have surrounded him with your care. And that care comes directly from you and from your spirit. It comes through the love of friends like Clem. And so we pray for healing for Uri. Let the healing spirit, so alive in the ministry of your son Jesus, fill Yuri. Restore him. Restore him in mind and in body and in spirit. May that same spirit bolster the love that his friends and family have for him. And let that love be a life-sustaining force that brings your love into Yuri's life. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and in your holy name, you the one who creates and sustains, you the one who brings us to this moment. You are Lord of time and of eternity forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and Klamazel Tov.
Klamazel Tov to you as well.
Absolutely.
God bless you. Thanks for calling.
God bless always.
As always.
Thank you, Pastor. Yep, bye, guys.
God bless. That is Father Clem. You can hear him at 3 o'clock today, right? Well, yeah, on Clem in the PM. So a good listen every day. Make Clem part of your daily listening routine. But we're talking about Epiphany. Mm. And you know, Jesus, God shows himself to us in so many ways. That prayer, that request for prayer, is a revelation of the presence of God. No one prays except that God has moved them to prayer. And so when Clem calls and says, could you pray for my friend, that's not just a sense of, I'd like to pray for my friend. That is a sense of projecting God's love and power into the life of someone who may be struggling. And notice, you know, we didn't ask for anything specifically, because I think that's something that Sarah Young talks about too in her reflection today. You know, give God the wiggle room to answer a prayer. Tell God what you need. It's like Mary's prayer to Jesus at Cana. They have no wine. That's for those of you who don't know the story. This is the Gospel of John, the second chapter. Jesus is at a wedding with his mother and his disciples, and the weddings back then were big things. They went on for, you know, more than a week. There was a lot of food, a lot of drinking, a lot of wine. And it was the high point of village life in a sort of a bleak and dreary time. And this was also an honor culture. So for a couple to run out of wine at their wedding was a disgrace. And it was a shame on them. And so when Mary, Jesus' mother, comes to him and says they have no wine, she is bringing the needs of this young couple and their family before Jesus, but she doesn't tell him what to do. She doesn't say, hey, and by the way, son, there are 6 stone jars of water sitting over there, each of them holding about 120 to 160 gallons. And you know, why don't you turn it into Chateau Neuf du Pape, 85?
Not Pouilly Fousset.
Oh, it could be that too. She doesn't say that. She doesn't tell him what to do. She just says there's a need here. So the first movement of prayer is to lift up our needs or the needs of our loved ones, and place them before God. Not that God's unaware of that stuff. But it's our love that releases his love into the world. So our prayer is a conduit of God's power. It's not that God isn't powerful. It's that he needs us to be the agents of his love moving into the world. So the first movement is I lift up my need to God and place it before him so that God can do something. But we don't tell him what to do, because if we say, and by the way, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, I want to win the lottery. I'd like that nice boat over there. I really could use a new car, and you know, and give him a list of stuff. That's not what God's interested in. God's interested in getting his love into the world in the most effective and powerful way possible. And our prayers of openness and trust, those are the things that God needs to unleash his power in our world and within our sphere of influence. The second thing that Mary does is she turns to the steward and she says, do whatever he tells you. which is a reminder of her faith. She lifts up the need to her son, and then she says, "And I know he's going to do something. So whatever he wants you to do, do it."
He did say first to her, though. Initial response was, "Woman, it is not my time."
Yes.
Okay.
He said, "What would you have me do? My time is not yet come." And really, what he's saying there is, once he starts with his epiphanies, This is the first John's Gospel. The first part of it is called the Book of Signs, and it's they are progressively more powerful signs, revealing who he is. You know, and this is the first of the signs. So the first of the signs begins his journey to the cross, which is in some ways the last great sign. Passion account is called the Book of Glory, it's not in the Book of Signs, but it's the greatest epiphany of God's love is the cross. What does the cross show? The cross shows that God is absolute, complete, self-giving love. A reminder to us that if we are to triumph in the world as people of God, we must be absolutely self-giving in our love. It can't be about us. It can't be about ego. It can't be about getting even. It can't be about winning. It must be about love. You look at the book of Revelations, which is the book about the final battle, the triumph of good over evil. God wins in the end. How does God win? God wins because of the Lamb on the throne, and the Lamb is the Lamb who was slain. We are saved by the blood of Christ. Evil is defeated by the blood of Christ. What's the blood of Christ means? It means God's self-giving love. We don't win by fighting back with the weapons of this world. And as soon as we start using them, we have lost. We have lost. Jesus, in responding to Mary's prayer, begins his journey to Calvary, which is also Mary's passion, right? Because she's losing, nice. She's about to lose a son. Mm-hmm. But in the process, gain a whole host of sons and daughters. All of us, the children of God. Thank you. I hear our music playing. Thank you for joining us again for this week's version of Faith Unscripted. Please come back next week, where whatever we do, we'll do it again. God bless you.